Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back. It's the afternoon show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. We're live at Chickies and Pete's. Baseball is back. Stop into Chickies for a unique game day experience and root our team onto victory. Online at ChickiesandPete's.com, a hotly, hotly debated fighting conversation during the break. Spike Eskin is joins the show now. Spike, have you ever been in a fight?
I have. Two fights.
Should we see the other guy, or how'd you handle yourself?
It didn't go well. Well, I like to say that I tied the fight. The one real fight, first of all, in high school there was a fight, but it wasn't really a fight. He just punched me in the face and I went down. I was not expecting it. Andy Boyle, I think it was like 10th grade. Nice. But the real fight was at, there's a bar, I don't know if it's still there in Bluebell, called Reed's in Bluebell. Mm-hmm. And I was there, my roommate and I were there to see this band. We would always go see this band, Octane. And this guy, it's just like a normal, you know, bar, nightclub or whatever. And they're playing the music, and this guy is like up front running into people, like moshing or whatever. Completely inappropriate.
Yeah, that's Fran. Fran's a mosher.
So I grab him, and I was fat spike at this point. Whoa. So I was like 230 pounds or whatever. Oh, so I felt like
don't
tough.
Rub it in.
Yeah. So, yeah, not quite as big as you, Jack. So
hold on.
Yeah. So I grab the guy, and I'm like, hey, stop it. And he's like, what are you going to do about it? And I said, what are you going to do about it? And he goes, do you want to fight? And I'm like, damn it. And so, because I don't want to fight. So I go, what are we going to do, fight here in the bar? I'm not going to fight you. He goes, after, when it closes, outside in the parking lot. So it was like 11 o'clock. I think there's no way this guy's going to fight. I walk out of the bar. He's waiting there for me, him and his friend. I'm like, damn it. So he wants to fight right in front of the bar. And I'm like, what are we going to do? Fight right here in front of the bar? I'm trying to get out of this fight by any means possible. He points to the back of the parking lot. Oh. We go to the back of the parking lot.
That's a mistake.
Yep. So it's me. He was a big guy, and his friend was like a small guy, and my roommate was a small guy. So I'm not going to repeat it. So we're just barking at each other, and my roommate says to them, what an idiot this guy is. He goes, are you P-words going to fight or not? So little guy jumps on him. My roommate pulls the little guy's shirt over his head like a hockey fight, and has a shirt over his head, is punching him. I see this guy right in front of me, and I punch him as hard as I can in the face, and it doesn't do anything at all.
Nice.
So total panic sets in. He grabs me, and I keep hitting him just as a mode of defense. Nothing happens. Police pull up, everything scatters, we run away, act like we won a world heavyweight championship fight. Yeah. So I would like to say that I tied that fight. Mm-hmm. I didn't lose the fight, but I also didn't win the fight. It was not Nell.
That might have been the whitest description I've ever heard of a fight in my entire life, man.
I knew you've been racist this entire time.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, there's a lot of conversating going on over
yes.
there. You guys are setting up dates to fight. You know what I'm going to go here. Bro. We're going to go there.
Dude. I don't want to fight.
Swing.
No.
Swing when he's not looking. When he's not looking, hit
sucker
him in the back
punch
of the
him.
Head. Yes.
Dude, I am a coward. I do not want any part of that fight. I cannot fight. I can't fight anyone. Normally, what I found was if you act like you can fight, the other guy backs off.
It's like when you see a bear in the wilderness.
Yes. You put scream. Your. That's what I do. I put my arms up and scream when I see somebody who wants to fight me. But this guy just was not threatened at all. So That's my fight.
I'll tell you, one thing I've learned is I damn sure am not going down an alley with you two anywhere.
That's a bad idea.
Yeah, exactly.
You just learned that? Something that you just discovered?
No, I knew about Jack, but I thought I at least had a fighting chance with you.
Why would you think you had a fighting chance with him?
Well, Spike's a little scrappy guy. I figured he might at least pick up something.
Behind a microphone.
Hit somebody with something.
Well, I'm older now.
Listen,
so maybe...
we'll get in a fight one of these days.
No. These are all old things.
It's going to be like Anchorman.
Believe me, I call the police nowadays. What? Y'all won't fight? All right, 911.
I have a replacement hip. My back hurts. I'm tired all the time. You think I'm fighting somebody?
Nobody's fighting nowhere. We're not doing that anymore. Those days are over with.
Yeah.
Now I'm running.
Still waiting on my first one. We'll get there one day. Spike, opening day tomorrow. How are you kind of feeling? I mean, it's an on-the-record Thursday. Going on the record, how we feel about this team, coming down from New York, baseball capital of the world, to a real baseball city in Philadelphia. how are you feeling?
Dude, I feel good. This feels like a 94-95 win team that is in the race for the division the entire time. And I know you keep saying that you're waiting for the playoffs. It's skipping a step. They are not champions. They haven't won the division. Winning as part of the growth of getting from point A to point B to become actual winners, you want to take steps every year. Now, I know, 2 years ago they went further than they did last year, but I still felt like they were taking a step. The step this year is to not be down 7.5 games after 30 games in the division and not have to scrap your way to it and not have all of us question whether they're as good as we thought we were. This is the year to come out and prove that you are as good as we thought you were. And one of the reasons that you haven't had as great a time during the regular season is that, quite frankly, they have not been that great during the regular season. If they come out and win 99 or 100 games, I promise you that the regular season will be fun. It's not going to be the playoffs, but it will be fun. Going out and dominating and winning the division is fun. I think that they are in position to do it. They have the roster to do it. They have the consistency to do it, right? They have the lineup to do it. They have the bullpen. They have the starting pitching. It's time to just go out and prove that you are not a scrappy upstart, that you're not an underdog, that you're not shocking people, that you're not, the wild card who everyone said couldn't do it. Now is the time to be the team that everyone is afraid of, that proves that you can beat everybody all year long. So I feel good about it. I think they're in position to do it, and now it's up to them to just pull it off. But I don't know how you could go into the season not feeling good about the team.
Well, I think everyone feels good about the team. You know, a lot of the World Series predictions. Winning the division just doesn't matter to me. Like, I know you want to be one of these, we got to be actually good. Well, listen, man, there's a big advantage to not winning the division. I know it sounds crazy, but there is.
What?
You get to play three games at home, and you win that, and then you get to go on the road in Atlanta, whatever.
Listen, this is what I call trying to outthink yourself.
Yep.
And it's pretty simple here. Let's stop trying to lower the bar and lower expectations. Go out and win a division. Have something to strive for that you can stay locked in on the season. Because here's what we don't want to happen, is that they get into a tough spot in the season, and now we realize they aren't going to have a Braves, and then everybody's going to be like, oh, no, the winning of the division doesn't matter. We can do this. No, I want them to be locked in throughout the season trying to win this division. I do want that. I'm glad that the players have set that as a goal. You know how deflating it would be to hear them come out saying, you know what, don't really matter if we win a division. We just want to be playing good baseball at the end of the year. How excited would you be if you heard them
say that? But they're right. It's worked the last two postseasons.
Right.
Yes, really, how many World Series championships do they have the last 2 years?
They have the most postseason wins in baseball.
How many World Series championships do they have the last 2 years?
How many division winners have won the World Series the last 2 years?
But it doesn't matter to me. You're telling me that the regular season doesn't matter, but they haven't won the World Series either.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like,
but I think there's a disadvantage to winning the division. Like, I think that having the 5 days off in between the end of the season and the start of the second round, that matters. Like, these guys get cold. You go into slumps. Like, I'd rather play good baseball. I'm not saying they can win 87 games. Like
they went into a slump last year in the LCS.
In the NLCS.
And they didn't have any days off.
After they got there, after they beat the division winner, after the Diamondbacks won 84 games and got hot at the right time. Winning the division doesn't matter. Playing good baseball at the end of the season matters.
Oh, okay, so you can time it. So, see, this is the – I don't think you're looking at the whole picture here, that you can't just time it to be good at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. That's not how it works. The best way to make sure that you're good at the end of the season is being good all year long. What are they doing at the beginning of the season to save their energy to make sure that they're good at the end of the season? That's not how it works. Yeah, obviously, you would rather be playing well at the end of the season than not playing well at the end of the season, but it's not a choice. There are plenty of teams that play well all year long. And I agree with you that it looks like that it's possible that winning the division and having those days off is a disadvantage. It's possible. But I'm not even sure that happens. And B, what if you get into the position where at the end of the year you have a banged up team that could really use those days? You know, there are so many different ways that this could play out. Obviously, they can win the World Series without winning the division. But to say that it doesn't matter and to say that you can look past it, they have not proven they can look past it. They've proven they are a good team, that they got hot in the playoffs 2 years in a row, that they're bringing everybody back, but they haven't earned the, you know what, we can just skate through the regular season this year and it'll all be fine during the playoffs. I think being good during the regular season is part of that equation. I also think it's part of being like a winning franchise year after year after year after year, which is
something. But
they're not.
Yes,
they've won for 2 years.
Yeah, I know.
But then, so I don't want to be this. I want to.
What do you want? Do you want to be the Dodgers, who have a Mickey Mouse title in 2020 and nothing else? A million regular season wins that don't matter.
If you had a choice between the Dodgers roster this year and the Phillies roster this year, what would you choose?
Well, sure, of course I'd pick the Dodgers.
Okay, well then what are we saying? I want them to win every single year, and winning the division is part of that. It doesn't guarantee you a World Series, but it does not prohibit you from winning a World Series. And I think it's proof of, I just think that the teams that do that are the better franchises. And they have taken steps, absolutely. Middleton deserves a ton of credit. Dombrowski deserves a ton of credit. Even Bryce Harper deserves a ton of credit.
That's right, yeah.
To take this team from a middling 500, collapse every year embarrassment to what they've been the last couple of years. But I want them to evolve into one of the great baseball franchises.
And
those
can.
Franchises are good every year.
They're the third best team. They're the third best team in the NL on paper. They'll win 93 to 95 games. And hopefully they don't win the division. And then we can hopefully go on a run again.
See, it's just backwards to do the whole fallback position before you need to. That's a fallback position. That's a consolation prize when you don't win the division, when you fall short of winning the division. You're saying to yourself, okay, we can draw on what we've done in the past. This isn't the end of the world. You know, we know what it takes to start in a wild card round and still make that run to the end. But to come into a season with the mindset of that's what I want to do, be in the fallback position, I just don't think that's the way you approach a season. You know that's there in the back of your mind, but that's not how you set goals. Like, that's not how you – we don't set goals saying, I'm going to get a backup quarterback because I hope my starting quarterback gets injured because I know the backup who won us the Super Bowl, we can do it again with the backup quarterback to win the Super Bowl.
Well,
like,
maybe.
That's not – that. No, my point is that that's not how you plan a season.
Right.
Right?
Just because it happens one way doesn't mean it's the best way to do it.
Yes.
But it has been 2 years in a row with the new playoff format. And three of the last four teams – remaining the last 2 years, three out of the four, have not been division winners.
I'd still take my chances with a better regular season team and winning the division.
All right. 215-592-9494 to get in on that. Do you care if the Phillies win the division? It's a wild question to ask, but I don't care. They can win 93 games, make the wild card. I'm perfectly happy. And, in fact, I'd prefer it. Chuck's in Mount Airy. What's happening, Chuck?
Yeah, what's up, man? What's going on, fellas? Hey, listen. Hey, I care. You know what I mean? But, I know realistically they're not going to win the division this year. They're going to win 87 to 90, probably 91 games, something like that.
Oh, come on, Chuck. What are you doing?
Yeah, I don't believe this team. Their ball, their pitching is off. You know, they don't have depth in the lineup, man. You know what I mean? The lineup is off. So, if one person gets hurt, it's going to throw everything out of whack. So, You know, and I don't trust, you know, Turner. You know, he might need another standing ovation this year. You know, only person I think is going to show up. And shout out to my boy Bryce, you know what I mean? You know, having another child. You know, Bryce, congratulations, buddy. You know what I mean? The world's a better place for more Harper. So, you know, I got to throw that out.
Oh, here we go. Are you trying to get into the Bryce Harper family? I mean, what is that? Are you trying to get adopted?
No, I'm just, you know, I'm giving the guy congratulations. You know,
you can give him congratulations. The world's better with more Harpers. It was a bit over the top.
It is. You know what I mean? Let me do my thing, Jack. You don't worry about what I'm doing. I'm congratulating the guy. You know what I mean? Hey, listen, here's the thing, right? I want to say something real quick about the Sixers, right? Uh-oh. You know, I watched him yesterday. And the thing about it is this, right?
Yes.
You know, you can't... James Harden deserved that booing yesterday.
Oh.
You know what I mean? If I recall,
he wanted to stay here, Chuck.
No. If I recall, James Harden wanted to stay here, number one, but he got a problem with Daryl Morey. Number two, James Harden gave us two great, magnificent games against the Celtics, one in which you guys' best player didn't even dress. You know what I mean? And then the other one, he won a game for us here, which was one of the best shots I've seen in the Sixers uniform in a long time.
Oh, it was a wide open corner game. Three. Stop.
Yeah, but he had a great game that game. He had 40, I believe he had 40 points that
he
game.
Did. Yep, he
you
did.
You know what I mean? So he stepped up. See, here's the thing. Everybody in Philadelphia want to blame, you know, they want to blame Daryl Morey. They want to blame Doc Rivers. They want to blame, you know, Ben Simmons. They want to blame James Harden. But you know who you need to blame? When I watched that team yesterday, they scrappy. They tried. It's just not good enough. Nick Nurse now is under pressure, and he's snapping at the referees. You know, Doc Rivers is gone. Daryl Morey can't make a move because of this guy, number 21. He's the common denominator. You know, he should feel ashamed of himself. And when he comes back, and if he comes back and he plays for that Olympic team, I tell you, I'm completely out on him, okay? This guy is the reason why the Sixers or where they are right now. And it's so disappointing. It's so damn disappointing that he don't get the criticism that he deserves. You know what I mean? I know everybody's going to say, well, he can't help. He can't help himself getting hurt. You know,
it's true.
It happens. No, you know.
Well, why can't he play?
He was diving on the ground for a loose ball. He's giving you maximum effort. It led to an injury.
He was laying there, okay? That's what he was doing. He could have got up if he was really diving for a ball. He probably wouldn't have got hurt. He was laying on the ground and got hurt. Okay?
Well, why can't he play in the Olympics? Why can't he play in the Olympics?
He can't. Listen, let me tell you something. Listen, man. That 7'2" bag of balls playing the Olympics and don't come back and play for this team and try to help this team get, you know, out of that playing game. And his ass is as good as gone. He might as well go up the road to New York.
Okay? Yeah, I agree with you.
Give us some of those picks back and give us some of those players from Villanova down in New York. I am sick of Joel Embiid, and I'm sick of this city who want to love him.
Well, you're going to get your wish. He's coming back, so you'll get your pound of flesh that you want when they get knocked out in the first round. You don't want to blame anybody else on the team. You're waiting to blame him. You're going to get your opportunity to do that.
Hey, guys, listen, it ain't about blaming him.
It is with you.
It ain't about blaming him. He needs to be held accountable, okay? Because the guy
that sounds like blame.
Criticism, all right? And I see Nick Nurse in his eyes yesterday. The guy is frustrated. You know what I mean? He just don't want to
Yeah, because this team stinks, because Daryl Morey can't evaluate talent to save his life.
Without Joel Embiid. How about that?
Yeah, but if one player came back, this team would not stink, okay? If he came back and he grew up here,
sounds
this team
like a
would
player.
Not stink. I'm sick of this guy being hurt every year. Every year. You know what? I'm telling you. I am at wit's end with Joel Embiid. You guys
dude,
can keep it
Chuck,
up.
Though.
I want
Chuck,
to go back
Chuck,
to Chuck,
draft Chuck, Chuck, Chuck,
player.
Chuck. Can I tell you, I don't mind you having the position you have on Embiid, even though I disagree with some of it. But to be a James Harden guy as part of that discussion, it sort of ruins your entire argument. James Harden is the loserest of all losers. You can't call Joel Embiid a loser and then be like, you know what? They should have signed Harden. They should have brought Harden back. There's no way, man.
I never ever said that James Harden was a loser. I never said that
he
wasn't a loser. What I'm saying is this. Joel Embiid is a bigger loser. He's a bigger loser than James Harden. James Harden has had success. James Harden has gotten out the second round. Okay, Spike? Let me tell you something. Last year, if it wasn't for James Harden, we wouldn't have came close to beating the Celtics.
That's right.
Okay?
And if it wasn't for James Harden, they would have beat the Celtics. The guy was nowhere to be found. Dude, in two consecutive years, in Miami 2 years ago and Boston last year, in two deciding games, in both series, he disappeared. He is a coward.
Joel didn't show up in Game 7 either, though.
Joel
didn't show up in Game 7.
I'm not talking about Joel. It's not an either or situation here.
I'm talking about Joel.
Well, then don't bring up Harden.
That's who's been on the Sixers. Everybody else gets traded away except for him.
Who would you have liked to have kept? Who was the big mistake that they traded away?
Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler wanted to leave.
It doesn't matter. You know,
Mikal Bridges.
All I'm saying.
And what's he doing?
Everybody else got to hold up the fort while he always gets to sit back and get no criticism. I'm
dude.
Of it, Spice. You know what?
He gets plenty of criticism. He gets plenty of criticism.
So is Joel Embiid your answer for someone you don't get, Chuck?
Listen. Yeah, absolutely. And you know what?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. For those tickets y'all talking about, I got to talk to y'all marketing people because I'd like to hear some R&B. I don't want no damn Willie Nelson.
Hold on, man. I know you're a Robert Plantman.
I want to listen to, you know, some Earth, Wind & Fire.
Mary J. Blige. Something, man.
You know what I'm saying? Some you know,
Bad
Bobby
Boys,
Brown,
P. Diddy.
Something else.
Bobby Brown?
Yeah.
All right, we'll work on it, Chuck. Just for
right,
you.
No addition, man. Don't disrespect
Bobby Brown. Bobby Brown's dead.
No, Bob. Ho.
We have a bad run with calling people dead or not.
Now, I may kill off a lot of people, but I ain't killing off
dead.
No addition. Hell
my
no.
My bad. I thought he was dead.
By the way, Kenny Rogers has been dead for
That's
a few
what I
years.
Thought, dude.
I didn't know he was dead.
I was confused, man. I thought you were thinking of the pitcher Kenny Rogers. I was thinking of Kenny Rogers' chicken. Like from Seinfeld.
Kenny Rogers chicken.
Yeah, it's from Seinfeld.
There's no reason to disrespect Willie Nelson. Dude is 90 years old on tour.
I mean, Spike, this is a big deal we got here.
Tour's light.
Yeah, we got tickets to Willie Nelson's 4th of July picnic. Okay, so you see Willie Nelson.
That
you got Bob Dylan.
It's glaucoma medicine.
Yeah, Bob Dylan's a 1,000 years old. Robert Plant. Alison Krauss, don't know who that is. Maren Morris. Spike, do you know who Mavis Staples is?
No, but you should know who Alison Krauss is with the music that you like.
Well, she's a country singer, I know, but no one else cares. But it's okay. It's big tickets. Someone in the world that you don't get is how you win those tickets.
Well, I tried to kill off Bobby, man. Hey,
yeah,
sorry.
That was Spike. That was Spike, yeah.
Maybe it's because Whitney is
Yeah,
died.
I was going to say, okay, just let me finish it up here for you.
Wait,
buddy.
Is he Ike?
Huh?
No, different person?
His name is Bobby, not Ike Turner. The hell is wrong with you? I tell you.
Well, he said Tina Turner.
No, he said Whitney Houston.
Oh, my bad. That's on me. 215.
You and in spite you won't call me racist. He's the one who thinks all the brothers and sisters look alike.
Yeah.
How many
Jack's
people he
doesn't
mix up over here?
Yeah, Jack's definitely racist.
Let's go to break. 215-592. We'll hash this out after this. 215-592-9494 on the record Thursday here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. But on the other side, since we're not on the air tomorrow, every Friday at 4:30, we're taking a trip down memory lane with the Memory Bank as we continue to honor the 20 greatest moments in CBP history on the 20th anniversary of Citizens Bank Park. What do we have today? Plus, a cryptic tweet from the Sixers. Could it be could it mean the big fella's coming back soon?
Well, Spike should know what this means.
Yeah, I agree. Bring some information to the program.
Yes.
We'll get to all that coming up next on the afternoon show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back. It is the afternoon show. Live from Chickies and Pete's. Nothing goes better with Philly basketball, hockey, and baseball than Chickies and Pete's pregame, in-game, or postgame online, chickiesandpete's.com. Twitter question today is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. It's engagement season. Shop the home team at Mark's Jewelers with diamond engagement rings for every budget online, marks-jewelers.com. Spike Eskin, Ike Reese, and Jack Fritz all hanging out here at Chickies and Pete's. So, every Friday, we usually, you know, since we're off the air tomorrow, opening day and all that stuff, we are doing something called the Memory Bank, where we are counting down, or we have the top 20 moments in Citizens Bank Park history. Francisco, what do we have today in the Memory Bank?
Here's the stretch, the kick, and the pitch. Swing and a line drive. Hit deep right field, down into the corner, and this is in there for a base hit. Post scores. Rollins on his way into second. He's going to try for third. Here's the relay, and it is not in time.
They got it.
Triple number 20 for Jimmy Rollins here on the final day of the season. He has gotten to 20, 20, 20, and 20 in the most dramatic fashion. 5-1 Phillies.
I mean, what a day that was.
Dude, 20, 20, and 20.
And 20.
And 20.
It's four 20s.
Yeah, so you got the double. Oh, so you got the doubles in there.
Yeah, doubles, triples, home runs, and stolen bases.
Ooh.
But I'm told by the genius that Matt Holliday was the MVP, the real MVP that year. Who would ever say that? Who would ever say that? So, Jimmy Rollins, historic day. You know, that Fransky call, of all the Fransky calls, I think it's the most underrated. Like, yeah. You can hear the power in the voice. The stadium's going nuts.
Going crazy.
I think how that game ends might be also part of our memory bank here, because it was just an awesome day. You know, they take the field. They already know that the Braves are the Mets are getting killed because the Marlins are taking it to Tom Glavine. So all they have to do is they win and they're in. They chase down the Braves. I mean, the 07 Phillies were fantastic, yeah. And J-Roll, obviously, right in the middle of it.
That was. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Spike.
The other thing is we see 20 doubles. We see 20 stolen bases. We see 20 home runs. You look at the history of the number of players who have 20 triples in a season. It's not a lot. Like any time, I think I was looking earlier today, after 1940, I think it's happened like six times or something like that. So just to get 20 triples in a season alone is a crazy number. And then to add them with the other ones. Jimmy Rollins was so good. That team was it was longer ago than it feels like. Do you know what I mean? Like we're getting close to 20 years
almost
ago.
Almost 20 years, yeah.
But just to have that many just all-time Phillies on one team, amazing, amazing time.
Yeah, and that year with him getting the MVP, that was, and in that fashion, and getting that the 20th triple in that fashion, that was, for me, it solidified him as my favorite Philly of all time. That's when he, like, because I was on a Ryan Howard sort of back and forth with
hard
him.
Hard not to be.
Yeah, of course,
holy
right? It's
cow.
Like it's Babe Ruth, the type of home runs he was hitting. But I always liked Jimmy because Jimmy had the sort of personality. He was polarizing. And, you know, he was often criticized when, you know, sometimes justifiable. But then the one thing I liked about Jimmy, because this is when I was still an athlete in my mind at that time, and I hadn't freshly retired, Jimmy didn't mind giving it back to us a little bit as a fan base.
Yep.
So, you know, he's a little bit like Joel. And you poke him, like, Joel's like, you better be thick-skinned enough as well to take it back. Like, if you guys are going to come at me every once in a while, I'm going to throw a little something your way to test your toughness of skin. And so I love Jimmy for that. And he was the guy who had the swagger. He was the guy who said, we're the team to beat.
We had the swagger.
It was his swagger.
And he also, just a flair for the dramatic.
Yep.
You know, like.
What did Charlie call him? The red light
he's
player?
He's a red light player?
Yeah.
Red light player. Yeah, he's great player, great moment, great year. The 07 Phils chasing down the Mets. And, you know, Spike, you were talking about that team. By the way, I can't believe it's almost 20 years since the beginning of the run. How close do you think that this team is to the beloved status of that team? Because it's not—they're not there yet. But if they win a World Series, I mean, this team is right there with the 07 to 11 team.
But that's such a big if. I think there's a little bit of forgetting how much we love them because it was so long ago.
I agree.
Do you know, like taking it for granted a little bit. This team is great. Absolutely is great. And by the way, we do have a history of loving teams a lot that didn't win everything from the 93 Phils to the 02 Sixers. We definitely like teams that didn't get over the hump. But I do think they absolutely positively have to win a World Series to have that same sort of love affair that we had with that team, with 07 through 11, I guess.
Yeah. But
it was just such a great run with all-time players. And there's still something a little bit with this team that feels a little bought, you know, and whereas that team did not feel that way to me.
Right.
No, they're all homegrown.
Homegrown,
all
yes, sir.
Speaking of one of the players that and why I wanted to play the J-Roll triple is the Phillies haven't had a 200-hit guy since that year with J-Roll. So J-Roll had 212 hits. Trey Turner. Can he do it? Like, he is traditionally, his highest is 195.
Ooh.
Could Trey Turner get to 200 hits this season? And what kind of year you're really expecting from Trey?
But, I mean, I think they need a season like that from him this year. They need a full season of him being good. And, you know, me and L.A. are both batting average guys. You know,
for sure, yeah.
We're
closers and yep. Wins, pitching wins matter. Yeah.
But with a lineup that is so boom or bust and a lineup that did go cold, I mean, he was one of the people that went cold, you know, at the end of the Diamondback series last year. I think having a player like that hit like that would be a welcome part of the lineup, I think. I just think they need somebody in that lineup to be that kind of a player. So whether we can expect it or not, I have no idea. I have 1 year of watching Trey Turner regularly, but he certainly seems capable, and he does not have the things going against him this year that he had last year. There's no excuses for him this year.
No. Plus 2,200 for MVP, by the way, Spike. So.
Keep putting that out there for everybody to hear.
Yeah.
I've already placed my bet, so
yeah, don't worry about it.
Yeah, I'm good.
And I'm on the record. I actually do think that JT, of the three, like him, Bryce, and Turner,
yeah,
I think JT actually finishes with the highest in the MVP race.
Really? That's not,
no.
I do. I
no
do.
Way.
I
There's
JT's,
no way.
I think
no
he's going to have a monster year. I really do. I think JT is going to be like...
Yeah, you know the type of year he would have a better year than Bryce and Trey Turner?
I'm aware. I'm aware. I think he's going to be phenomenal. So
as he's getting older, he's about to have his peak season.
Dude, Posey had one of these kind of mid-30s kind of breakout. Not
right.
Breakout, but
I'll take it.
Fantastic year. The biomechanics lab. I know you're
listen,
always.
I know you're a Cavs man. So,
oh, great. Spike, have you seen JT's calves? I mean, just top tier.
Well, he's a catcher. He better have great calves.
I mean, he was a catcher. He's a linebacker. He was a quarterback. I mean, he's a Cavsman. You know,
do you have a crush on every one of these players, dude?
Like, yes, what? He does. Yes.
Oh my God.
Well, what's the issue? Relax. I love the Phils. Phil season starts tomorrow. Relax. But winning the division doesn't matter. We'll get to some cryptic tweet that the Sixers put out today in 1 second. But Spike, you know me. When you think of Jack Fritz, you think of appliances, especially as I enter into my 30s. And the Friends and Family Savings event is underway at National Appliance Warehouse in tax-free Wilmington. So you save money with the Friends and Family Savings event. You save money because it's in tax-free Wilmington. But you also save money because of Price Assure. And if you've heard me talk about Price Assure, you got to see it for yourself. Can I say what it is?
Because I've heard you say it.
Oh, here we go. Yes.
Well, they have special technology where the price of the item changes dynamically, like right there. So if it needs to go lower, it goes lower. They don't need to change anything. It just happens automatically. I've never seen that before.
It's pretty ridiculous, and you got to see it for yourself. So go down to Tax-Free Wilmington and check out National Appliance Warehouse, a big box store, low prices, but excellent service. They get you in 8 seconds or less when you walk through that door. I usually walk in there clueless. And when I leave, I feel like an expert. That's the National Appliance Warehouse difference. Go down and get the Electrolux front-load washer and electric dryer. You save an extra $100 when you buy the pair, and you save even more because, again, National Appliance Warehouse is in tax-free Wilmington and Tell him Jack Fritz sent you. Spike, the Sixers tweeted out a GIF, whatever, of Joel Embiid eating an apple, which is like a million years old.
It's my favorite GIF.
Yeah,
I was
going to
say, that's an Ike one. Ike one.
They stole that from me.
They did. If we could update the GIF game on the Sixers.
No, that's perfect for
not
Joel.
Not you.
Well, they realize that's a great GIF for Joel
like
Embiid.
It looked like they went through like a normal iPhone searches to try to find the GIF. Like, I expect more from a professional organization. But they tweeted out that photo. Spike, does that mean to you that Joel could be back Friday against the Cavs? I mean, I know he's going on a road trip, but they do have a game against the Cavs on Friday.
I don't know when. It's obviously soon, and I've been expecting it to be soon. I was looking at the schedule. My gut tells me the perfect one would be against the Thunder, right, when they're home. So they're at Cleveland, then at Toronto, and then home against the Thunder, and that would give them – 7 games left, which means he could probably play in 4 of them or 5 of them. You know, he's coming back within the next week would be my guess.
Yeah, and he's not going to come back on the road. It's going to be at home or definitely on national TV.
Probably.
Yeah.
It'd be a nice full circle moment too. 2017 May's debut against the Thunder.
Yeah.
And then he saves the Sixers season by making his debut.
Oh, and that's a TNT game. We get both there. That's a nationally televised game, and it's at home.
Yeah.
Well, and by the way, you know, the playoff positioning, and they're still, you know, they're an 8 now, but they're within striking distance of 6. That last 6 games after that goes Heat, but then Grizzlies, Spurs, Pistons, Magic, Nets.
Yeah, it's basically preseason games, hopefully.
Yeah, there are winnable games in there. So if they're within the reach of the 6th seed when that happens, that'll be helpful. So I'm excited to see him, man. I'm very excited. The other, I think, positive thing is they said 6 to 8 weeks. This will be 9 weeks, so it's not like he's rushed back. I think if you're looking for a situation where he is healed from the injury and ready to come back, he would not only be healed at this point, it would also give him more than 2 weeks of game action to get ready. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see him back. The last month and a half of Sixers basketball, and I've watched a lot of bad basketball over the last 10 years. The last month and a half has been a rough watch.
Well, this is what basketball purgatory kind of feels like.
Yeah.
I mean, Kelly Oubre taking your final 2 possessions and a chance to win a game is feels like hell.
Well, and the whole going up early in every game and then knowing you're going to lose the game somehow in the damn second half. I'm tired of that, too. Yeah.
And I'm more surprised
when they hold on to win versus them actually losing. I'm like, it seems like they get up every game in the first quarter. They just can't hold on.
And the sad part about the Oubre thing is, you don't want that guy finishing the games, but then you think to yourself, okay, well, they're doubling Maxey. Who's the next best option is Oubre. So that tells you the situation.
Well, the next best option is Tobias. Let's not be silly.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Are we not done with this yet?
No, what do you mean? I'm just saying. Done with what? You said the next best option is Tobias. No, you don't agree?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oubre didn't even look his way on the final drive. Oubre was going to the rim.
Yeah, and we saw what happened.
Yeah. His outburst at the refs was embarrassing.
No, it was one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
No, don't be thirsty, Sixers Twitter.
I'm not being thirsty. I thought it was great.
That's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. You're a professional athlete. You're a B.
He was right. He got fouled. They admitted he got fouled.
He should have fouled Kawhi. He should have fouled Kawhi to cause the game to be even down at that point.
They said at the end of after the game, in the final 2-minute report, that a foul should have been called on Paul George.
Yeah, they should have lied, by the way. I mean, why? What's the benefit of that coming?
Yeah, exactly. Only thing I say about the last play there is that if I were on the other side of that, I wouldn't have wanted that call against me.
I think that's fair.
That's all. I didn't even tweet about it last night because I'm like, it's one of those calls where I could see where they didn't make the call, but there's some contact there. I wouldn't have wanted that call if it was a Sixer player and we got and we made a stop right there against another player and they called that foul against us. We'd have been outraged by that.
For sure.
I agree with that. I agree. It's just who he is. Oubre does one of two things. Oubre either shoots a 3 or goes hard at the rim. You want to see him shoot a floater or a mid-range jumper there when he had the opportunity. He didn't do it. And you can't rely on getting a foul call in that situation. But I did think it was funny when he called all of the referees' bitches and their parents' bitches and their grandparents'
and their
bitches.
Yeah. Little much.
You got three of them in there, Spike. Good by you right there.
You're allowed. I can say that word, right? I'm allowed
listen,
to say
that. You know better than we are. Yeah, you're better than we do, so yeah. Now, I was just going to say, the one thing I do like about Oubre, you can't tell him he's not good. So, yeah.
The
confidence, I'll take that. I'll take somebody being overly confident in themselves. So, I do like that part about him. He's not afraid.
Yeah, he bothers me. Gino's in Conshohocken. What's happening, Gino?
Oh, not much. How's it going today?
What do you got, man? What do you feel about Embiid?
Well, here's what we got with Embiid. There's just way we can look at it. We can say past, present, or future, right? So if you look at the past, this town was very excited, saying this guy is going to be the greatest thing that's ever happened to this town. And there was glimpses of that. Now we're at the present. And we're at the present here, and we're going, well, what came out of that past? And it was called the Phantom of the Process, which was pretty cool at the time, right? But then that turned into the Ghost of the Playoffs because where does he go? He just disappears. You know what I mean? So what can you do? Now you got to look to the future. So do you bring him back with another 2 weeks left and then maybe another 2 weeks of playoff basketball? Or do you just say, sit and get hungry, come back next year hard, or just, you know when to hold him, know when to fold him, and say, we got to start again?
Well, the problem for me with that is if he sits the playoffs while being able to play and then plays in the Olympics, I don't think that sits very well with the city.
He's not sitting. No, this is the dumbest. Why should he sit?
Yeah, I'm off that argument.
You just got to get him hungry because I don't
get him hungry. What are you talking about?
He's hungry enough.
I don't see that flair. I don't see that heart. I don't see that drive. It's just I don't know. You got to get this guy hungry.
So your position is to get him hungry is to while healthy have him not play in the playoffs.
Let him sit.
That's a great plan. You would be an excellent coach.
In the playoffs, he disappeared every year.
Well, those are different things. Why are you saying that the best way to make him good is to have him not play when he's healthy?
Make him hungry. Make him hungry.
Okay. Who's someone that you don't get, Gino?
Well, first of all, there's probably the most insane person ever to – nobody gets Pee Wee Herman.
Pee Wee Herman.
What the heck was that all about?
All right.
Yeah, Jack, what was Pee Wee Herman all about?
So he was the – now, there's Mr. Rogers, right?
They are different things, buddy.
Well, they're kind of the same.
No, they're not.
They both do kid shows, right?
No, Pee Wee Herman was a comedian. Mr. Rogers hosted a kid show.
Well, what was Pee Wee Herman's show?
It was not a kid show. I mean, it was on Saturday morning, but it was a
– sounds like a kid's time.
It started – okay.
What is the target audience of Pee Wee Herman?
Children. Well, it started as a comedy act for adults. It was on HBO.
But what did it morph into?
I'm telling you, if you really watch the show was transgressive and was not just a kid show. It is not Mr. Rogers. This is not a debate. They're very different.
All right. Since I clearly not up to date on Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah.
Is this a good answer for someone that you don't get?
Yeah, it's fine.
Do you guys get Pee Wee Herman?
No, we don't. We don't get Pee Wee Herman either. Yeah, but we understand what Pee Wee Herman was all about. Yes. Oh,
okay. I mean, I love Pee Wee Herman.
I mean, okay, Spike was a Pee Wee Herman guy.
I'm a Pee Wee Herman guy.
Yeah, like, I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, how old were you?
I did enjoy the movie. What was it called? Was it Pee Wee Herman?
Pee-wee's Big Adventure. It was awesome.
Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Magical
yes.
Mystery Tour.
Yes.
Then there was Big Top Pee-wee.
Yeah, I did not get it.
I didn't mean to offend you as a number one P1 for the Pee-wee Herman crowd.
And then, of course, Pee-wee had his own experience in a movie theater.
Yes, he did. Yeah,
that's what brought everything to a closure right there.
Yeah.
I will say this. Change of heart, which I'm allowed to have.
You are.
On the Embiid plane. Only because he seems healthy from the standpoint of, would you say, Spike, he's at 9 weeks now?
Yep.
Yeah, it'll be 9 weeks by the time he comes back.
Okay, so we're looking at a little bit of 9 weeks. Now, I will still say this. I think it's pointless for the play-in.
Play-in.
Still not loving that. But I guess he's healthy. Let's see him. If he's back, he's going to play, what, 4 or 5, 6 games before the playoffs even start?
I mean, they have 9 games left.
Okay.
If he comes back the Thunder game, he has 7 games.
Okay. Yeah, that's plenty of time to sort of get ramped up.
So, you know, last year when we did the show and I said I'm giving up on the Phillies?
Yeah.
I always knew this was coming from you. Like, I need to be back in on it.
Yeah, so did I, by the way. So did I. But because I don't like being out on Embiid.
No.
But I was in too much of a protective mode.
Against Chuck.
Yeah, against Chuck, because I know what's coming.
Yep.
Yeah, I know what's coming.
When they fall
See,
short.
Spike don't know yet, but it's coming, Spike.
Wait, what's coming?
Chuck.
You got
about
a preview
Embiid,
of it today. Yeah, you got a preview of it. But if he loses in the playoffs again, I mean.
Well, but let, if
not going
to
be
chance,
any excuses. He's not going to give us any breathing.
He wants him held accountable.
Yes.
But here's the thing. If by chance, I'm not predicting this, but if by chance the Sixers succeed, get to the conference finals, get to the.
Ooh, Lord, yes.
Then Chuck's going to have to shut up.
Yes, sir.
Chuck's going to have to take his medicine.
Yeah, but the issue with that, Spike, is then he's going to turn into the biggest Sixers fan.
You're not going to
recognize him if they make the Eastern Conference Finals.
Chuck is a lot like my dad in that all Joel has to do with Chuck to get him on his side is mention that he was inspired by one of his phone calls, and it's over.
I mean, it's over.
You did hear what he said with Bryce. He said the world's better with more Harpers in it.
Yes, he hasn't turned back since. Yeah.
That was a bit over the top.
Yeah.
I love Bryce, too. But, man, that was something.
Well, you wouldn't have said it on air.
Sure.
But you feel that way, though.
100%. And more Fritz's. But
We'll get to it. You have something to say about that.
I don't have anything to say about it. What I do have something to say about is that someone just walked through here in a Philadelphia Wings jersey.
Is that what that was?
And I'm not one to bring down one of the teams in this city. Where do you get it? How much is a Wings jersey?
I have no idea.
Like,
I didn't even know that was a Wings jersey.
Was it a throwback? Was it a modern one? I mean, I guess there's a game tonight. You going to Chickies and Pete's for the Wings?
What are the Wings?
They're the indoor lacrosse team.
Oh, okay.
Now, the Kicks were the indoor soccer team.
Right.
Philadelphia Kicks. One of our storied franchises at the Wells Fargo.
See how deep we go on this show, Spike?
That's right, Spike. We even cover lacrosse. 215-592-949.
Is that covering it? Is that what you're doing?
That's about as much as you're going to get.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we do. On the other side, a Francisco Rojas top 5 at 5.
Oh, no.
He seems to always be there when his Spike is on.
I know. I might need to change the schedule around.
It's not my fault. I don't do the schedules.
Don't make excuses before you.
We're trying to take pressure off of you. You did okay Tuesday. Don't clam up now because Spike is here.
Right. You know, pressure is a privilege.
Pressure is a privilege. Billie Jean King.
Yep. Billie Jean King.
By the way, Spike, have you ever heard that saying?
What's the saying?
Pressure is a privilege.
No.
Thank you.
It's popular. Come on.
Two for four on this show. Yeah. The top 5 of 5 is coming up next with Francisco. We'll get to that and all your phone calls as you roll along into the 5 o'clock hour. It's the afternoon show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Grand slams, no-hitters, and double plays are back. And there's no better place to get in on MLB action than FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sports book. Because right now, new customers can start the MLB season with $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Now, that's $200 you can use to bet on money lines, totals, strikeouts, homers, you name it, or combine your bets in a same-game parlay for a chance at.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.